It's good to see you tonight. Good to be in the Lord's house. I appreciate the invitation to come again. And that's always a real encouragement when you come and then you get asked to come back. And I appreciate your pastor giving me that invitation. And it's been good to fellowship with a lot of folks I hadn't seen in a while. And good to see a lot of friends and acquaintances that we've known down through the years. Brother Vaughn and I were discussing before the service a little bit about how fast time moves on and the years get by and they just don't stop, do they? It just keeps going on and on. But God is good to us. We thank Him and praise Him that He just lets us have a little part of the big picture. Amen. Just a little spot on the big picture. Just a little bit of what He's doing. That's amazing, isn't it? And I praise the Lord for that tonight. All right. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me, if you will, to the book of Esther. The book of Esther. And I'll do my best to try to give you what's on my heart as the Lord puts it in my heart and try to kind of move on with it as best I can. And you pray for me. And I'll kind of maybe give you a little salad so you can get ready for the main dish here in a little bit. All right? But in Esther chapter number 6. And I want you to begin reading in verse number 1 with me. The book of Esther. The book of Esther. All right, if you found your place then in the book of Esther, and we'll be in chapter 6. The Bible said, on that night could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servants said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in. And the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king uses to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Then the king said to Haman, make haste, take the apparel and the horse as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for letting us be here tonight. Lord, as we come in your presence, we acknowledge our great need of you tonight as always. And Lord, we know that without you, we are nothing. God, I pray somehow you could speak through us. Lord, use us as a vessel. Lord, as a channel, speak through us to the hearts of your people tonight. God, give us clarity of mind and clarity of speech. May the message be clear. May it be understandable. Lord, I pray you'd touch the hearts of your children. And then if there be one in our midst that's never been saved, I pray the light of the glorious gospel of Christ might shine in that heart tonight. And in all you do, Lord, may God be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, several times here in this passage, we have read the phrase about the man whom the king delights to honor. And I want to talk about that for a little while tonight. I want to talk about the man that the king delights to honor. Now, you know, it's amazing how history repeats itself. As a matter of fact, you know, there's a lot of these modern critics that are around that want to talk about how that the Bible is not relevant for the times in which we live. But you know, if there's any book in the Bible that describes the current predicament of the nation of Israel, it would be the book of Esther. And if history has ever repeated itself, it has repeated itself in that sense. When you think about the book of Esther, and you understand that the setting takes place in the ancient Persian Empire, and that within that Persian Empire, there is a man who has a desire to totally annihilate every Jew in that empire. And you understand that modern day Iran is the same place as ancient Persia. And so you've got an identical situation. As a matter of fact, it was interesting to me about a month ago, or a little more than a month, maybe 5 weeks ago, when the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, made a trip to the United States. And he really made a tremendous speech. I don't know how many of you had the opportunity to hear that, but he made a tremendous speech here in our own country. And he was basically pleading for understanding of the position that Israel is in tonight. He was talking about Ahmadinejad and how his desire is to annihilate the nation of Israel. And he himself ironically alluded to the book of Esther in the Old Testament. Right. And he talked about how there was a wicked man in the Persian Empire that wanted to destroy God's people, and he raised up Esther as a deliverer. And I just thought it was so amazing. I mean, how that things have come full circle, and they're right back there tonight where they were at that time. As I look at this story tonight and see how relevant it is, not only to the situation in the world, but I think a great type in what I've read tonight. Now, you know, the problem with typology is that we have to be careful, because sometimes types break down. Something might be a type in a certain sense, but it might not be in another. So I want to say tonight that I kind of look at this king in the story as being a type of God the Father. Not in every case, but as we'll look at it tonight. And I see Mordecai as being a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can see Haman as being a type of Satan and the work that he's trying to do and his plot against the people of God. And if the Lord would help me for a few minutes, I hope that he will, I want to try to preach on the man that the king delights to honor. There is a man that the king wants to honor tonight. There is somebody that God the Father wants to exalt tonight, amen. And I want to look at that here for just a few minutes. Let me give you my thoughts under three or four headings, and the Lord willing, I'll get out of the way. I want to talk to you a minute about the plot of the enemy. Now, the wicked enemy in this passage is a man by the name of Haman. Haman has been promoted to something like the prime minister of this ancient Persian empire. It was an empire that covered 127 provinces, and it reached from the country of India all the way to the country of Ethiopia. It was a great empire. And Haman had been exalted to basically become the right-hand man of the king. And the king had Of course, I've given some commandments concerning him, that he was a man to be respected and a man to be reverenced. And so when Haman walked out of the king's court and he walked out the gate down into the streets, all the people would bow down and they would reverence this man, Haman. But there was one man in the king's gate that refused to bow the knee to Haman. And that was a man by the name of Mordecai. And of course, the reason that Mordecai would not bow the knee is because he was a Jew. And because God had commanded him, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to any graven image or any other god." He knew that. And so Mordecai refused to bow to Haman. And so Haman got stirred up because of that. It was Haman's pride that drove him to the awful plot that we'll see here in just a moment. You know, when I look at Haman, he's a perfect picture of the devil. It was his pride that got him in such big trouble. You see, someone said to me one time, they said, "Preacher, if God really cares about us and God really loves us, then why in the world did he ever make a devil to start with?" I said, "Well, you got it kind of confused here a little bit." I said, "God never did make a devil. God made a beautiful angel. He was a beautiful cherub. He was the anointed cherub, and probably the what we might call the choir master of heaven. He led the worship of Almighty God, if you will. He was there when the worship and the praise was given to God Almighty. He was there in the midst of the seraphim and the cherubim, leading him in that chorus, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God, art thou righteous and true.' But one day the devil got jealous of that worship that God the Father was receiving. And he said, 'I want that worship. I want that kind of praise. I will exalt myself above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High.' And his pride exalted him, and God cast him out." Now, I'm going to tell you one reason the devil is such a terrible enemy tonight. You can have no enemy like an enemy that used to be on your side. You take somebody that was on your side and they defect and go to the other side. They know how you think. They know how you operate. They know what you're all about. But are you talking about a terrible enemy? And that's what makes the devil such a vicious enemy. And here's my contention tonight. The devil cares very little about how much religion you have or how many rituals or forms you have, amen, as long as you don't render heartfelt adoration and worship to God Almighty. Because that is the one thing he hates. That's the one thing he was jealous of. That's the one thing he wanted to steal from God. He don't care too much how much you go to church, just so you don't worship when you get there. Just go to find out what kind of gossip's going on, you know. Catch up on the latest story. Clip your fingernails. Huh? He don't care about all that. Just don't worship God. Are you with me? He hates worship. That's what he's out to stop. Worship. And it was his pride. So Haman becomes prideful. And of course, he comes up with this awful plot, this awful plan. And when he finds out that Mordecai is a Jew, then he decides that he's going to get up a plan and a plot to have every Jew in the empire annihilated, every one of them. And of course, we're not time to read all the scripture, but you can find that in Esther chapter 3 and in verse number 6. He makes this decree. He convinces the king to sign it and put his seal on it, and it's sent out through the empire that all the Jewish people are going to be destroyed. And it's all because of his pride. And of course, you know that as Mordecai refused to bow the knee to Haman, so our blessed Lord Jesus refused to bow the knee to Satan when he was tempted in the wilderness. And he showed him, remember the scripture, one of the gospel writers said, I think it might have been in the Gospel of Luke, he said that in a moment of time, the devil taketh him up into a high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, if you will bow down and worship me, they'll be yours. And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But I want you to understand this. Keep in mind, it only took the devil a moment to show everything he's got. And that's the way he operates. He can show it all to you in a minute. Everything he's got is a flash in the pan. It's a bam, bam, poof, pow, a fizzle, and the smoke rises, and it's all over, friend. He's done in a moment. It's temporal. It's fleeting. It's passing. But I'm going to tell you what God has to offer his people. It'll take the ages and the ages and the ages for him to unfold the riches of his glory and his grace to his people. Hallelujah. And Jesus refused to bow. Like Mordecai, I refused to bow. So I see the terrible plot of the enemy. But then secondly, I think I see something here we could call the providence of God. Now, you understand that before Haman, and you know, here's the thing about God's providence. God's providence is always timely. It's always timely. You can see that all through the book. God's name is never mentioned in the book of Esther, but his providential hand is on every page. Because before wicked Haman is ever introduced to us in this book, we find out that Esther has chosen to be the next queen of King Ahasuerus. And so before this wicked Haman can ever make his dastardly plot against the people of God, God beforehand has gone behind the scene and placed Esther in the palace, amen. Well, glory to God. I'm telling you, before the devil ever got to work in the Garden of Eden, before there ever was a sinner, thank God there was a Savior, amen. I'm glad he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, praise God. Hallelujah. God was making provision before we ever had the need for it, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Glory. Not only that, but there were two men at the king's gate. Teresh and Bithena, Bigtha, we read about a moment ago. They plotted to put the king to death. And Mordecai found out about it. And he told Esther, who just happened to be in the palace, about this plot to kill the king. And Esther goes and informs on these guys. And she does it in the name of Mordecai so that Mordecai will get credit for saving the king's life. Amen. All this before Haman ever got the words on the paper. The devil has always been at least one step behind God. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Aren't you glad he's always late? Whereas my Lord is never late. He's always on time. His providence is timely. Oh my. So, they get this decree signed. And you know the story. Mordecai finds out about it. Gets the word to Esther. He said, look, you got to do something. We're going to all be wiped out. Esther said, look, you don't just walk in before the king. I mean, you just don't go prancing in before a king anytime you please. She said, don't you know that if I go walking in before him without being called to come, that I could be put to death? You know, I think sometimes, and I'm glad we have a throne of grace, yes, and I'm glad we have an open invitation to come before His throne.
Amen.
But I think we ought to come with some reverence.
Amen.
You know, I tell you, some of our so-called praying we claim to do today, I don't know about it. I think we need to come with some reverence. It isn't a light thing to walk in front of majesty. He ain't the old man upstairs. He's the majesty on high. He's the majesty on high. She said, I can't just walk in any time. Said, I have to be called. He said, well, you remember one thing. If you don't do what you got to do, you sent for the kingdom for such a time as this. And if you don't show up now, don't think you're going to escape. You're one of us. She said, well, I tell you what you do. You get all you guys together out there and fast and pray for 3 days. And I'm going to get my maidens together. We're going to fast and pray for 3 days. And she said, then I'm going in before the king, and if I perish, I perish.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put it in the hand of God. She said, pray for me. 3 days pass. Here comes Queen Esther. That beautiful young Jewish woman walks into the king's court and just stands quietly. King sitting on the throne with that golden scepter in his right hand. He sees Esther. Their eyes probably meet. Finally, I see the king rise up out of that seat and beckon her to come. She walks up there, puts her hand on that golden scepter. And he says, Esther, what do you want, honey? Anything you want.
Amen.
To the half of the kingdom you've got. You remember that day when as an old outcast you stood trembling in the presence of God and you didn't know if God would have you or not, and you walked into the throne room and He stuck the golden scepter out to you. Praise God. Whoa, glory to God. She said, well, the only thing I want right now is I'd kind of like to have this little banquet this afternoon. And I'd kind of like for you and Haman to come over. He said, man, that ain't much. I mean, sure, we'll be glad to. You know, so they get down there at the banquet that afternoon. And the king says to Esther again, he says, now look, you tell me now, what is it you want? He said, now wait a minute. You don't risk your life so you can sit around and drink tea and eat sandwiches, you know. I mean, the king knows something's up. I mean, you don't take a chance on dying so you can sit around and have a little afternoon snack. He said, Esther, I know you're wanting something. Tell me, what is it you want? He said again, he said, I'll give it to you, to the half of the kingdom. What is it you want? She said, well, I tell you what. Tomorrow, I got this banquet planned, another banquet. And she said, but now, when you come to this banquet tomorrow, and I want you to bring Haman in with you, when you get here tomorrow, I'm going to tell you what I want. So that sounded good. Old Haman went prancing off. He goes down to the house. He said, now I'm telling you right now. He said, you thought I was making it on the up and up. He said, I'm telling you, I was invited to a banquet and there won't nobody there but the queen and the king and me. And I was the only person invited in this whole kingdom. And they're going to have another one tomorrow, and guess what? I'm the man. Huh? He goes home and tells his family about it. And he said, listen, he talks about all that's happened to him, all the wonderful things that's taken place. And he says, but you know what? There's something eating my guts out. She said, well, what is that? He said, every time I go out the gate, that stinking Mordecai standing over there will not bow down to me. You know, that's just like self-centered, prideful people. They can have everything in the world, but one little old thing can't go their way, and man, they can't stand it. One little old thing that didn't appease him, and he just fell apart. They say, well, I'll tell you what I'd do if I was you. I'd just build me a gallows. And when you go in to see the king tomorrow before the banquet, just go in a little early and tell him you want this Mordecai fella put on them gallows. He said, that's a good idea. That's what I'm going to do. But now we're talking about providence. Everybody had to sleep that night before the next day. We're talking about providence now. And chapter 6 and verse 1 said that on that night, wait a minute now, hold on. On that night, not the night before, not 3 days later, but on that night, the king couldn't sleep. Providence of God. That night, God troubled him. He can't sleep. What in the world is wrong with me? Now, he calls for him to bring in the court records. I don't know if that was because he thought there was something he had missed, or if they were so boring he thought if they'd read them, he'd go back to sleep. But he said, bring the court records. Read them. Read them. Come on. Read them all. Read them. Read them. And they got to reading them records. So-and-so, such. And they come across this thing where two men were going to kill him. And this Jew named Mordecai ratted on them. And they were both hung and his life was spared. He said, tell me right quick. What has been done to honor this man? And they said, nothing. He said, nothing. He said, ain't no wonder I can't sleep. You mean there's a man in this kingdom saved my life? There is a man in this kingdom that literally wrought salvation as far as he's concerned. And nothing has been done yet to honor this man? They said, that's right, King. Well, I don't know. They must have gone all in through the night to find this, because about that time, old Haman's scrambling outside the door. And he said, there's somebody out there in the court. Who is that out there? They said, it's Haman. He said, bring him in. Now, wait a minute. God's providence is not only timely.
Yes, sir.
It is transforming.
That's right.
It takes a situation that looks bleak and hopeless, and in a moment, it turns it around.
Yeah.
So, old Haman's out in the court. So the king, bring him in. He said, Haman, you're the man I want to see. He said, now, if there was a man in my kingdom that I wanted to really do a great honor to, what do you have in mind would be a good thing to do to that man? And old Haman's like, well, now, who would the king want to honor besides me? Man, isn't it something? Boy, it is something how God works.
Amen.
You're talking about burying a man in his own pit. He said, I'll tell you what we ought to do. I think you ought to ride on the king's horse. And I think you ought to wear the king's clothes. And he said, I think we ought to put the king's crown on his head. And I think we ought to have somebody going out there ahead of him, just telling everybody how wonderful he is. That brings me to say this. I believe you'll agree with me. This is a wonderful picture and prophecy of our precious Lord. Look in Revelation 19.
Yes, sir.
Look in Revelation 19. John said in Revelation 19 and verse number 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. God said, there's a man I want to honor. There's a man's wrought deliverance. There's a man that's brought salvation. And he said, I want to honor him. He said, bring my big white horse out here. I'm going to put him on him. Amen. Hey. Hallelujah. Glory hey. To God. And he said here, he not only was on that white horse, but he said that in verse 12, that on his head were many crowns. Amen. Had the king's crown on him. Verse 13, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Hallelujah. Friend, I'm telling you, God said, here's the man we're going to honor. Let him ride the king's horse. Let him wear the king's crown. Let him wear the king's clothes. And he leaves it up to me and you to go out ahead of him and proclaim how wonderful he is, how great he is, how precious he is. This is the man that the king wants to honor. Amen. But you know, I read something else in the scripture. I read in John chapter 12 and verse 26 that if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So out behind that big white horse, here come a bunch of more horses. Amen. Armies following him. Riding what? Horses. And he said we were what? Kings and priests. Crown. We have on white raiment. The linen. The righteousness of the saints. Amen. Glory to God. If you honor him, he'll honor you. If you lift him up, he'll honor you. Friend, I'm going to tell you who the man is the king wants to honor. His name's Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Praise be unto God. God help us tonight to be those going out ahead of him. God help us to be those that are making the announcement, that are shouting it out to everybody that'll listen. This is him. This is the man. He's the one. Praise God. Glory be to God. He is the one that has wrought deliverance. He is the one that has wrought salvation. Hallelujah. God help us honor the king. Honor him whom the king delights to honor. By the way, he is King of Kings. And he is Lord of Lords. God help us tonight. If you'll honor him, he'll honor you. Praise the Lord. There ain't none like him. None to compare to him. And by the way, Ahmadinejad will have no more success than Haman. You can believe that. He can say what he will. Build all the nukes he wants to build. I'm telling you, he will come to the same fate as wicked Haman. Because I'll guarantee you, we may not know nothing about it, but in the providence of God, he already had a plan in motion before he ever started building one. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time to be in your house. Thank you for the wonderful word of God. Lord, it is timely. It is up to date. It is right where we are right now. And Lord, I thank you for it. Thank you for this great story of God's deliverance of his people. Lord, we believe that just like you delivered Israel in times gone by, even from this wicked man in the Persian Empire, God, we believe very possibly we may witness with our own eyes another deliverance on this same scale. Lord, we want to thank you for your faithfulness and your love. Thank you for your providential care of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.